Lord Jesus, we thank you for just the reality of our walk with you, and we just ask, Father, share a couple of these things tonight, that you'd use them in the way that's on your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyway, I want to share concerning a little bit about the spiritual battle, and I know we're all pretty acquainted with it, but not always so acquainted with the passage in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. And Paul wrote this, "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, to the casting down of imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ." And I just want to share a little bit about the ongoing spiritual battle that every Christian, whether they know it or not, is going through. And in contrast to Ephesians 6 in putting on the armor of God, that passage, a lot of that is for how to protect ourselves in the spiritual battle. This, I think, has a lot of implication on restoring spiritual ground and getting it back under God's control. And I just want to share a little bit about that. But I don't know if we think about that very often, but as a Christian, Satan hates you, and the reason he hates you is that Jesus lives in you. And I'm thinking back just the beginning of Lucifer, created in such a beautiful, intelligent, strong angel. But in the passage, I think Ezekiel says that he tried to be just like God. He wanted to be, and that's what rebellion is, not to stay under, but to be like. And, of course, Jesus said in Luke 10, as the 70 came back, he said, "I saw him fall like lightning." He gave up his light. And back to Genesis 3, it was the Lord Jesus, the seed of woman, that's going to bruise his head. And so when you accept Jesus as Savior, you become a target. There's a number of verses. I think of the one in Colossians 1:13 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." People that have not come to Christ are in the realm of the wicked. He's got them. Since the beguilement of Eve and then disobedience of Adam, We're under his domain. We're in a fallen world. We have a fallen flesh. But you accept Christ, you become a target, and you are in the battle. And it's very important for us to know that. And there's two passages that I just want to remind us. The song we sang about, what was the name about? Be Strong. Be Strong. And the first is, and I think you know this, right? To introduce the armor in Ephesians 6, Paul shares this wonderful verse. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." I know when I noticed that many, many years ago, I thought, how do you do that? The very next word is put on the whole armor of God. And and then the other passage is over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul shares with Timothy, let me get it here, I'll just read it, verse 1 there. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the Lord, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore shall endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." What I want to point out in his Paul to Timothy, where he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Both of these passages are in reference to the battle and to warring a good warfare and being a good soldier. And pretty much in the Ephesians 6 passage tells the truth is where we're wrestling. We're not wrestling flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. The passage also in the 2 Corinthian passage says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That's not where our warfare is. And I, as I was thinking about this, I had to think, I'm sorry for secular counselors that are trying to help people to get out of spiritual battles, but they don't know that really they're not wrestling in flesh and blood. And when we try to get people to recover ground or get out of the battle, we're talking about Christians, because somehow ground has been yielded up, and they need that back. And so I think the passage really here in 2 Corinthians 10 talks about taking back ground from the thief. It's either been given to him. Sad to say, many children are not protected, and ground is, spiritual ground is taken from their life. Many times Christians, they yield up ground just by their decisions and by the way they're living. But I think, and one of the wonderful things about the passage here in 2 Corinthians, it says the weapons of our warfare, they're not fleshly, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of several things, pulling down strongholds, recovering the ground that's been yielded up or taken by the wicked one. And Satan doesn't give up ground unless it is recovered. He's a legalist. I have a right to be here. I've been given that right. And so, and I think in this passage we see some things about the matter of recovering spiritual ground. And I don't know what all comes under the category of strongholds, but I think one of them is a stronghold of bitterness. There are Christians that just have not learned that they need to forgive, that that's obedience to the Lord. And if you look at the end of Jesus tells a parable, I think Peter begins by asking, do I forgive seven times? And thinking that would be special. And Jesus says, no, I tell you 70 times seven. By then you lose track of how many times you've forgiven. But he goes on and tells this parable, as you probably remember, that this man owed so very much, and he besought more than he'll ever be able. And he was forgiven all that debt. And it's a picture of what God does for us in forgiving us. But then he goes out, and he has somebody owes him a day's wages or something like that, and he won't forgive him. And then he's called in and says, you wicked servant, I forgave you everything. You should forgive. And in the end of Matthew 18, he says, you'll be turned over to the tormentors. And I think that is just spirits of bitterness. And that's one of the areas, there's strongholds of that in Christians' life that refuse, that do not become people to quickly forgive. That's so very important. Different kinds of bondages or strongholds. Christians get involved in porn. They get involved in lust and uncleanness. And those open the door to the enemy for there to be strongholds in their life. All kinds of addictions would be under that in the matter of strongholds. It's a place that the enemy is protecting. He's not going to give it up because, first of all, he is fouling up a Christian's life, but most of all, he's coming against the Lord Jesus that person is invited into their life. So he have weapons that are are strong, to pull down strongholds, to bring down imaginations. I was trying to think of what might occur under imaginations, but I think of all kinds of wrong thinking. Covetousness, I think, would be under that. He speaks of high things, and I think in that, idolatry in the heart. Some Christians have become bound in an idolatrous thing in their heart. There's Christians that get involved in evil secret societies, the occult practices, and there's all kinds of things that seem like they work, and so you try those, and one of them that stands out to me is witching for water. I think Christians get involved in that, and it works. But I've known testimony of those that have come to the place of renouncing it. I'm done with it in the name of Jesus Christ. They can't do it anymore. So, and there's other kind of practices that some groups get into that would be high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Every once in a while, I run into Christians that have messed around with Ouija boards and different kinds of things. I think those are high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. So he said, our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, to casting down imaginations, and to pull down every high thing that exalts itself to the knowledge of God. And you know, the end of it is, and bringing all your thoughts in obedience to Jesus Christ. That's what the goal is in the spiritual battle in our lives. And I've said this before, but I just prompted to say it again, that when God points out something, I don't want the enemy holding any ground in my life. And I know that a number of folks that I'd worked with were going through, and they were forgiving all these people. And I've told you this before, but I got alone with the Lord. I thought, I've not. When I was young, I wasn't taught about forgiveness. And I didn't remember many things, but God started out when I asked if there's people I haven't forgiven. And I've told you before, went back to second grade. Leo, he's making fun of me. And Lord, I forgive Leo. That's probably there 2 hours, the Lord bringing back through my life people that it kind of wounded. And so I learned right there, that's important to God. And that's one of the, I just want to say something about the weapons of our warfare. And of course, one of the chief weapons of our warfare, whether it's offensive or for our own sake, is God's word. In the passage in Hebrews, it talks about the sword of the Spirit. You can use that against the enemy, but you also, the word will go in and divide between soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, that God uses his word. And I think of a couple passages that there are many, but what came to me was the one, first of all, in Ephesians 5, about husbands, they're to be like Christ to their wife. And it says that the Lord cleanses his church with the washing of water by the word. And so there's this matter of word can go in and convict us. It can then prompt us to confess it, forsake it. The other passage, I think, is in John 17:17, in Jesus' prayer, where Jesus said, sanctify them through thy word, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And what it means, sanctify, set them apart, that they would be holy and cleanse them. So the word, of course, is so very important. The searching of the Holy Spirit. I just named some, and then I just share a little bit how we approach something when somebody comes and wants to reclaim spiritual ground in their life. The searching of the Holy Spirit, the blood of Christ is so very important in its cleansing, that he cleanses us with his precious blood, that spirits are subject to the name of Jesus Christ. You remember in Luke 10 how the 70 came back and said, Lord, they are subject in your name to be able to send them away. The giving that ground back to the Holy Spirit and then bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Years ago, a young man, just a little bit how when somebody's trying to reclaim ground, some of the steps that can be applied in all kinds of directions, whatever you've gone through or wherever you've given up ground. And one of the things, this young man wanted freedom from pornography. And so one of the first things we do is ask Jesus, would you take him back to remind him how he got into this, how he got started in this? Go to the genesis of how the enemy did that in your life. And then the Holy Spirit's very faithful. He'll do that. Yeah, I remember there were certain things that I saw that I should never have seen, and they came across my path, and then I started looking at other things. And so it's a matter of going back and confessing that, acknowledging it, but then also one of the strong things to do is renounce Satan taking ground at that time. He's always waiting to take ground in our lives if we'll be disobedient or if we make those steps in the wrong direction. But to renounce that and ask the Lord Jesus for the cleansing of that. And I remember this particular fellow, we just let the Holy Spirit remind him of steps right down the line and reclaim at each of those places. And then invite not only that the Lord would bring that cleansing from the pictures that have been put subconsciously in the mind, but to ask the Holy Spirit then to take that over. And where there's spirits that have, when that ground is gone, you can command them to go, but you always need to command them to go where Jesus sends them. And I'll just, where I first was alerted to that, I just will tell you that many years ago, I heard about a prayer meeting with Theodore Epp in his office with some people up there in Back to the Bible in Lincoln, Nebraska. Used to listen to that. I listened to that from Quito, Ecuador, by the way. Anyway, they had a fellow there, and they were just commanding spirits out of him. The next thing that happened, the dog in the room went over and started tearing the Bible apart. And they realized it had gone from that man into the dog. If you ever get involved in that, always command they must go just where Jesus Christ sends them. You don't want them hanging around. You don't want them where they shouldn't be, of course. But then to invite the Holy Spirit to fill that area of your life and under his control. And maybe in a way that seems simplistic, but that's what you do. You let the Holy Spirit take you right where this thing happened that you're struggling with. You confess it as sin if you haven't. You renounce it as an area that the enemy has taken control in. And then you ask Jesus to cleanse you and to give that to him and claim victory over it. And so I just see this passage in 2 Corinthians as kind of a guide in reclaiming ground in our lives. And the goal is to bring all of our thoughts then into captivity to the Lord Jesus Christ. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. 1 Corinthians 1, God will not let flesh get glory. There's just no way. And that's where I say these are spiritual battles. And it may seem like that it's flesh and blood, battle between people or whatever. But the truth is, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against spiritual entities. And so, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You're not going to be able to have somebody talk them out of that. Somebody's not going to be able to just talk them out of an addiction to porn. It's a spiritual battle. And I'm talking about Christians now that have gotten caught up in that or And there are many other things we could say on that, but though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I know most everybody here understands about the spiritual battle. Sometimes it's very easy to lose sight that it is a spiritual battle because it looks like flesh and blood, and flesh and blood are involved. Talking about combination of people with each other or whatever it is. But the truth is spelled out for us there that the enemy, as a Christian, the enemy is looking for ground in the life. And if he gets it, it needs to be taken away from him. And God graciously gives us his power to do that. Heavenly Father, I just thank you again, Lord, that what's on your heart is to restore. Your heart is to get that ground back under your control. And maybe it's never been under your control, and yet they've opened their heart to you, Lord Jesus. But it's like in My Heart, Christ's Home, like that whole closet. Something in the life that needs to be taken away and cleansed out. Thank you, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through you, God, to pull down strongholds. And so, Lord, as we have opportunity in our own lives to deal with it, or those that come our way, or those you put in our way to minister your grace and your healing, thank you, Lord Jesus, that your heart is to reclaim spiritual ground. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, I pray as we would go over this again that probably almost everybody here could be of some encouragement and help to somebody in their life that they need my prayer. I didn't say a lot about prayer here, but by prayer and by encouragement to see strongholds pulled down and people come under the freedom that's available. So thank you, Lord. And I didn't have the opportunity this morning. I just take this opportunity to place your name, Lord, on our Berean group here. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.